Yasukaya bharam udvahato vimudham. O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence, for wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Throughout the entire world, everyone is making big, big plans to adjust the miseries of the material world. And this is true at present, in the past, and in the future. Nonetheless, although they make elaborate political, social, and cultural plans, they have all been described herein as vimudha, or fools. The material world has been described in Bhagavad Gita as dukhalayam ashashvatam, temporary and miserable. But these fools, trying to turn the material world into sukhalayam, a place of happiness, not knowing how everything acts by an arrangement of material nature, which works in her own way. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudatma karataham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. I'm very pleased to be with you again. More than pleased, I am grateful. Vanshakalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyevacha patitanam bhavanivyo vaishnavevyo namo. To have the association of the Vaishnavas can only take place by receiving the mercy of Krishna. It is not summary. It is said, Arache Vishnu Shuladir Gurushu Naramatir Vaishnavi Jati Budhi. In this sloka, one who sees a Vaishnava as an ordinary person, or considers him or her according to caste or nationality or sex or any other of these material designations, that person, his mentality is coming from hell, naraka. Vaishnavas of all levels, from the neophytes who are just coming with the aspiration to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, to the more and more advanced devotees, up to the Paramahamsa Acharyas, they are all worshipable. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who is considered greatest Vaishnava, amongst the greatest Vaishnavas, he writes in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that my aspiration is to take the dust from the feet of all Vaishnavas and worship that dust. And he said, and I don't only mean the eternal associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I mean even the brand new bhaktas. They're all worshipable because they have all decided to come to Krishna. Through this example, and so many other wonderful examples, we can understand what a rare fortune it is to have the association of devotees. It is not something ordinary. It is the divine gift of Krishna. And as you approach something, Krishna reveals accordingly. If you approach a Vaishnava as an ordinary person, you'll only be able to appreciate him as an ordinary person. But if you approach a Vaishnava according to the vision of the Shastra and according to the vision of the great souls, Vanshakalpatarubhyascha, they are like wish-fulfilling trees. They are my connection to Krishna. They are worshipable, worthy of respect. Then you will see Krishna. You will see Krishna manifesting through each and every devotee. And that is the purpose of our life, to understand Krishna. And this is the process. Prahlad Maharaj explained to Lord he explained to Hiranyakashipu that Naisham Thaba, what is that? Mahiya Samrajo Vishekam, that nobody has ever understood Krishna or realized Krishna without performing an Abhishek ceremony of his own body, mind, and soul by bathing it with the dust from the feet of devotees who are Niskinchananam, who are detached from material life and attached to Krishna. Not by reading the shastras or memorizing slokas, not by chanting millions of mantras, not by performing severe austerities, not by performing great yajnas or giving huge amounts of charity, can anyone understand Krishna. You can get pious action, you can gain mystic powers, you can even possibly get liberation, but you cannot get Krishna bhakti. Only those who bathe themselves, body, mind, and soul, with the dust from the feet of detached, aspiring devotees, they can understand Krishna very easily. And here, in this verse today, we are seeing what is the essence of the heart of a real Vaishnava. This verse, this prayer is being spoken by Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, he was tested and proven to be a true devotee. We should respect and honor every devotee and thank Krishna for any moment association with any Vaishnava. But the real exalted qualities of the Vaishnavas are manifested when they are put through a crisis, when they are put in a testing situation. Just like many of you here are students, or if you're not students now, you were students sometime in the past. And you know that nobody understands how much you really have learned and how much you have really imbibed in the subject until the test, until the exam. Then everything is revealed. You can make yourself out
to look like a very serious student. But if you fail the exam, everyone knows it was all a show. And you could humbly just appear like a very ordinary student, not really say much because you don't want people to think you're very learned or anything. But then you come out outstanding in the exam, and then everyone knows this person is very serious, very advanced. So in the same way with our spiritual lives, we really don't know who's who as far as to the degree devotees have realized Krishna consciousness until there are severe tests in their lives. And that's why Krishna puts severe tests in our lives. Not only do other people understand who's who, but we understand where we're at. We can be preaching, you are not this body, you are not this body, you are not this body. But when you have a toothache, you decide that I am this body, actually. It is true. It's going to hurt the same whether you know you're this body or no, you don't know this body. If you've understood Krishna consciousness, in the pain, you'll be crying out, and if you really haven't understood or imbibed the principles of Krishna consciousness very much, then in the pain, you're going to be not calling out for Krishna, you'll be calling out for the dentist. Our Muralidhar Prabhu has experiences of such people. And you'll be thinking, why is Krishna doing this to me? What have I done to him that he's making me like this? I'm a nice devotee. I've given so much money, and I've given so much time, and I've chanted so many mantras. Why is he doing this to me? It's not fair. Either he's making some grave mistake, or maybe he's not so great after all. Maybe I should start reconsidering my spiritual life and put more emphasis on defending myself, creating some security. Because Krishna's not going to protect me. This is proof. I have to start putting more emphasis on protecting myself in this world. When this is our mentality during crisis, that means we really have not understood Krishna consciousness very much. When we start to think, that why should I give so much time and energy to being a devotee when Krishna is not even there to rescue me from this toothache? Better I make my own plans. And I'll give a little time for Krishna, what he deserves. Essentially, that's what we're saying. But when a devotee is in a crisis who really is sincere, and who has understood, and who has got the blessings and the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas upon his head, that devotee will think, ah, just see the warning. What will death be? If this toothache is bad, what will the time of death be? Yam yam vapi svaran bhavam tijetyante kalevaram tam tam evaiti konteya sadata bhava bhavata. That what we think of at the time of death is what our destination will be. So if this hurts now, I have to really improve the chanting of my japa. I have to really improve my concentration during Bhagavad Katha. And I have to really put a lot of time and energy into associating nicely with the devotees. It's an emergency. Prahlad Maharaj was put through great tests. But how he passed the tests is what makes him so dear to everyone's hearts, even to this very day.
Whether he was thrown in burning, blazing fire, or in pit of venomous serpents, or whether he was stabbed by powerful, massive rakshasas with tridents and swords and spears, or whether he was thrown off mountains, or thrown in oceans, or fed deadly poison, Prahlad never questioned Krishna's mercy. Prahlad always accepted Krishna as you like. My only concern is not whether I live or die. My only concern is Krishna. Just let me remember you in my heart of hearts. Please, Krishna, just let me do that. Let anything in this world happen, because it's going to happen anyway. Let me remember you. That is my life. That is my hope. That is my only prayer. And because he had this humble consciousness, Krishna was always there to protect him. He wasn't apparently there at the beginning to protect him, but in the end, he saved him. You may think that Krishna was protecting Prahlad, but he's protecting every one of his devotees. But understand, from a material point of view, at the time that Prahlad was thrown by his own father into that burning fire, or as he was being thrown into the pit of snakes, and all the snakes were surrounding him, did it appear that Krishna was protecting him? Why did he allow him in the first place to be put in that situation? But in the end, Krishna saved him. Because Krishna is in everyone's heart. And a devotee should not be should not be what we say choosy. Should not be making preference to whether I get this or that. A devotee should just be thinking, it doesn't matter what I get, because in the end, Krishna will definitely save me if I just remember him and chant his holy names. Because material existence is a place of misery, and they will come. You cannot avoid it. Don't run from them. Run to Krishna. That is what the scriptures tell us. So Prahlad Maharaj, here, after silently enduring all of these great crises in his life, and just always remembering Krishna, here he's revealing his heart to Krishna, Lord Narasimha Bhagavan. He's saying that, my dear Lord, you want to offer me benedictions, but really, I've never considered that I'm your devotee because you're going to give me something. I'm your devotee because I want to give you something. I want to give you my life. He says that I am not at all afraid of material existence. For wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. This is the subject matter of Krishna consciousness. Bajahure mana Sri Nanda Nandana Abhoya Charana Ravindare Durlaba Manava Janamasat Sange Taraha Ebabo Sindure. We pray to our mind, please always remember the beautiful son of Nanda Maharaj, Sri Nanda Nandana Krishna. Because in this world of fear, in this world of imminent death, fear and death cannot stand before Krishna. Fear and death are wherever we are forgetting Krishna. Spiritually, when we forget Krishna, we are dead. And spiritually, when we are remembering Krishna, we have eternal life. A devotee doesn't consider whether this body lives or dies as very important. A devotee considers whether spiritually I am alive with Krishna by remembering Him always. In remembrance of Krishna, there is no fear of material existence. Because in remembrance of Krishna, material existence actually ceases to be within our own minds and hearts. Krishna Suryasa Maya Hoya Andhakar Yahan Krishna Tahan Maya Maya Radhikar. Krishna is like the sun, and Maya, ignorance, which is the source of all misery and death, is like darkness. And in the presence of the sun, there can be no darkness. If we just keep our mind attached to the radiant sun of Krishna's name, or Krishna's pastimes, or Krishna's form, then the darkness of ignorance, which is the cause of all misery and suffering in this world, it ceases to exist. But we may think that even when I'm remembering Krishna, still I'm suffering. When you're diseased, or when you have some mental anxiety, and you cry out in desperation, it's not, especially at less advanced stages, it's not that all the anxieties and sufferings disappear. So what really does this verse mean? It means that even in that so-called suffering, through the vehicle of Krishna's name, our consciousness is transcending material existence and finding eternal shelter in the source of all fearlessness of Krishna. And as we train ourselves to go deeper and deeper and deeper into His name and into His remembrance, to that extent, the miseries of material existence simply are not important anymore. It is explained in Gita that the miseries of this world are always going to be there, just like rivers. When rivers come into a little pond of water, it completely devastates that pond of water. But when the rivers come into the ocean, doesn't do anything to the ocean. When our consciousness merges into the ocean of Krishna's mercy, then all the rivers of pleasures and pains of this world, they just have less relevance. It doesn't matter so much anymore, because we have found something wonderful. We have found the greatest thing. And this whole material world was designed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply so that we can perfectly orchestrate our life to always remember Krishna and go beyond birth and death. So therefore, whatever happens in this world, we should just welcome it as an opportunity to transcend birth and death, which is the only purpose of life, and become pure, unmotivated lovers of Lord Krishna. If one of our loved one dies, it's a great tragedy to our heart. But the fact is, that person's going to die. And so are you. And so is all your other loved ones. And so are all the ones you hate. Everyone's going to die. It's Martya Loka. So we can simply grieve over the death of our loved one.
Asochananja sochastvam pragyavaram shabashase gatasuma gatasumsta nanu sochanti bandataha.
Krishna says, why you are lamenting? It's inevitable. It's going to happen. Arjuna was thinking, how will I fight this battle? To fight this battle means, in order to win, I have to kill Bhishma and I have to kill Drona, and I love them more than my own life. And Krishna told Arjuna, you think that they're not going to die? You think they're going to live forever? They're already old. They only have a few years at the most. Why are you lamenting over these things?
It's going to happen. It's the world. Devotees aren't hard-hearted. They cry. They cry when their loved ones die. But in the crying, they take it in a very positive way.
That Krishna, every situation of this world is meant to bring me closer to you, because in you there is eternal life and eternal love. This person has died, and Krishna, the inevitable existence of the temporary relationships of this world, why should we be so attached to something that will be lost? But in the death, it helps me. It helps me to pray for this person's soul. I have no longer any concern for that person's body, but now I can purely pray for that person's soul to be reunited with you. And therefore, I can do something better for that person than I've ever done before. And as far as I'm concerned, through this situation, I'm realizing that the only real permanent friend or lover there is you. And those souls who are eternally connected to you. And if there is some failure, some bankruptcy, any situation, it hurts, whether you're a devotee or not devotee. If you're insincere, you simply become frustrated and hopeless. But if you understand that every situation of this world is meant to make you Krishna conscious, you suffer, but in that suffering, you welcome the opportunity, the perfect opportunity in that moment to turn to Krishna, to remember His perfect love, and to chant His holy names. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, during his Navadvip Leela, he would have wonderful kirtans in the house of Srivas Pandit. These kirtans were so joyful. They would dance and they would chant, but only very, very dear and special devotees were allowed in these kirtans, because others would not understand the ecstatic transformations that were taking place. So the majority of the people of Navadvip, who were basically pious, they would think that whoever is in that kirtan is so fortunate to be with the beautiful golden form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, dancing and singing. How we long to be in there. But due to our past sinful activities and due to our insufficient spiritual qualities, we really don't deserve to be there, therefore we're not allowed. But they are so fortunate, and maybe sometime in the future, either in this life or the next, I can become so spiritually charitable to others and so pure in heart that I will have this ultimate fortune of entering into the beautiful pastimes of the kirtan of Srivas Thakur's home. But there were others who were envious. These nonsense, rascal people, they call themselves Vaishnavas. What they are doing? Why they are chanting so loud? They are keeping us up all night long. We have to go
and work like asses all day to make money for our sense gratification. And how will we be able to work like that if they're keeping us all night up, not sleeping, hearing all this loud chanting of the holy names? We know what they're doing in there. We know their secrets. They're not chanting so loud like madmen because they're spiritually advanced. They're drinking hard liquors and wines and alcoholic beverages. They're intoxicated. They're drunk. They seduce young, innocent women. They abuse them. In this way, that's what they're doing. They are condemned. And they are subjecting all of us to condemnation. Why are they chanting the holy names of God so loud? They should chant silently in meditation and not disturb us. Because at this time of the year, we know that Lord Vishnu is sleeping. And they're chanting so loud, they're going to wake him up. And if they wake him up, he's going to be very angry. Anad bhavanti bhutani parajanyana nashambhava jagyat bhavati parajanyo jagya karma shamud bhavaha. That it's by the grace of God that we get rain. And without rains, there's no grains and fruits and vegetables. We'll all starve. They're disturbing Vishnu by insulting him, by so loudly chanting his name and waking him. He may withhold the rains and then we'll all starve because of these rascals. Or he may become so angry that he'll destroy the whole universe because of them. So many insults. Therefore, if we want to protect ourselves, we should take this house of Srivas and throw it in the Ganges and let it float and sink. And we should beat these Vaishnavas. We should beat them with our fists and with sticks. Or we should get the government to arrest them. Because at that time, the government was overruled by these Islamic emperors. And at that time, they were very much against any other religion. So they were thinking that just at this time, there are two boats of government soldiers coming to Navadweep because there's so many terrible complaints of these loud chanting of Krishna's name. And we will all be punished because of them. In this way, they would insult them in so many terrible ways. And the threats were so terrible. And the fact is, the boats of soldiers did arrive in Navadweep. So devotees were becoming a little... Actually, the devotees were transcendental. And Srivas Pandit, who was actually organizing these kirtans, he was feeling himself responsible. And he was compassionate. Let them do whatever they want to me, but what about all these other devotees? They may be arrested, they may be beaten, they may be killed, they may be plundered. So just while Srivas was thinking like that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came running into his house. At that time, Srivas was worshipping Lord Nrisimhadev on his altar. And Mahaprabhu came in, and he knocked on the door of the temple, and Srivas came out. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, "Why are you afraid? Why should you be afraid of anything or anyone in this world? Do you not have faith that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead? I am within the heart of every one of those soldiers. And if I do not allow them to approach you, they cannot approach you.
But even if they approach, I can go on that boat and I can reveal my transcendental form to them.
Will they bother you then?
But even if they do decide to bother you, I will take the king and I will say, you bring all your armies and all your family members and you bring all your elephants and all your horses and all your chariots, everything, you bring them here. And I will tell them, you tell your priests, tell them to get these animals to chant the name of God. And they will not be able to get the animals to chant the name of God. And then I will say, now, you bring in some ferocious animals from the forest and everyone else. And right before their eyes, I will order all of these dangerous animals chant the holy names. And they will begin to weep tears of ecstasy, and they will raise their arms and begin to dance, crying out,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare.
And upon seeing all these elephants and tigers and horses and dogs and hogs all engaged in the beautiful kirtan and the ecstatic love chanting Krishna's names, the king and all of his soldiers and all of his family members, they will become so ecstatic upon seeing this wonderful event that their hearts will become enraptured in ecstatic love and they will raise their arms and loudly begin to chant. Do you doubt that me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cannot perform this miracle? You just watch. At that time, Srivas Thakur, he had a very small and beautiful little girl who was his niece. Her name was Narayani. She was only 4 years old. The daughter of Srivas Pandit's brother. Srivas had three brothers, Sri Ram, Sri Nidhi, Sri Pati. So Mahaprabhu looked at Narayani right in front of everyone. And he said, Narayani, call out the name of Krishna and cry in ecstasy. And this little four-year-old girl cried out, Krishna. And as she called out the name of Krishna, rivers of tears began to flow from her little eyes, covering her whole body, her limbs began to tremble, and she fell on the ground, crying out the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invested fearlessness in the hearts of all of his devotees. That I am your protector. Konteya prati janehi name bhakta pranashyati. Let the earthquakes come. Let the cyclones come. Let the world wars come and the nuclear bombs come. Let it all be. We have the holy name. And in Krishna we have eternal life. In eternal peace and eternal love. This is our faith. Of course, devotees are compassionate by nature. They don't like to see earthquakes or cyclones or nuclear bombs. They want to make the world as nice as possible in Krishna consciousness. But ultimately, things are beyond our controls. And that's Krishna's grace. Because the more things we realize are beyond our control, prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasya ahankara vimutat karatamani, the more we become humble. And the more we become humble, the better we can chant the holy names. So one day, one of these envious people, who was not allowed in the house of Srivas Pandit, he became very angry. He was a Brahmin. He was a great scholar. He was very austere. He actually had so many pious qualities. But he was proud. Because sometimes when you're pious, you become proud that you're pious. In which case, it's not so good to be pious. It's better to be a little impious and be humble and become pious with humility than to be pious and to be proud and become impious due to your pride. Something like that. I'll never be able to repeat that again. So this Brahmin, he was so angry that why is he not letting me in for this kirtan? This is an insult. This is blasphemy to the Brahmin class. So the next morning, this Brahmin happened to meet with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya was Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnana Amanina Manina Kirtaniyasada. He was always absorbed in kirtans. He was so humble. The supreme personification of humility. So this Brahmin attacked him with very insulting, blasphemous words. That who do you think you are to not give entrance to a qualified Brahmin like me into your kirtans at night? The fact that you're not allowing someone like that, like me, a respectable, pious, learned Brahmin, means you must be doing something evil that you're trying to hide from me. Therefore, because you have insulted me, I curse you that you will lose all material enjoyment in your life. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very happy. Hariyo! 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 He considered it a great relief that he was being cursed to never be able to enjoy material happiness. Because Prahlad Maharaj says that the source of all pain is our desire to be happy in this material world. So the devotees of the Lord, like Prahlad, when they pray to their worshipable object of love, Krishna, they ask for something which is wonderful. Prahlad is here explaining that my concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. And then Prahlad goes on to pray, "My dear Lord Nrsingadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance, not caring for the big cities and towns They go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence, Mounavrata. They are not interested in delivering others. They are only concerned with their own salvation. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals trying to enjoy material life. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to... Why? Why are we in this city of Bombay? Vrindavan Maharaj, Tattva, Kardama Muni, Radhe Shyam. These are brahmacharis, Gauranga. They really... They don't have any families to maintain. They don't have any social obligations at all. People come to Bombay because they want money, because they need to somehow or other maintain the necessities of family life. But they don't have families. And they're devotees. They have no material aspirations. Why are they here? This place is a hellish city. There's all kinds of pollution. Recently, on the order of our devotees, I was sent to this place for my health. After this whole long lecture, I'm telling you what I've been doing myself. I was sent to this place so my body would become less miserable. And I refused for a long time, but even if you, in order to please the devotees, you even have to do things like this sometimes. So anyways, when I was there, it had nice clean air, nice trees, and everything is very peaceful. And they told me that you're getting better now because you're breathing nice air and everything is quiet. But if you go back to Bombay with all that pollution and all that noise and all that passion, you'll never be able to maintain your health. So from every point of view, what are we doing in this place? Just to drive, a 10-minute drive takes 2 hours. Everyone's crashing into each other. Ah, what are we doing here? They are here because in their own humble ways, they're trying to follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. That we don't care to be healthy. We don't care to be materially happy. We don't even care to be liberated in a holy place. If we can't take all these materialistic people with us to Krishna, we don't want to go. That is Prahlad's prayer. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, our Param Guru, he also prayed like this. He was told he had a beautiful temple and ashram in Mayapur Dham, which is so peaceful and quiet and nice. You have all been there, many of you. You went to Calcutta and you went to Mayapur and then you went back to Calcutta. So you know the difference. But he was living in Calcutta. They told him, why don't you come to Mayapur? You have a beautiful ashram there. He said, because the bigger, filthier and more degraded a city is, the more they need Krishna, and that's where I want to be. Because I am the servant of the servant of the servant. This is the consciousness of those who are following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj. He says, therefore I wish to bring all of them back to the shelter of your lotus feet. And really, this should be the spirit that is developed amongst all of us. That together we want to individually and personally help one another to go deeper and deeper and deeper into the shelter of Krishna's name and Krishna's loving service. But together we also feel a great need to mobilize our energies in such a way that we can help bring everyone back to the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Because as we become spiritually advanced, it becomes more and more intolerable to see people enjoying and suffering in illusion. So the development of this spirit of real charity and kindness is what we want to help awaken in one another's hearts, because it is the greatest service to the Lord. Para upakar Bharata bhumite hoila manusya janma jara janma saratuka kara kara para upakar. That human life is meant to give charity. Our real happiness is in giving charity to others. Our misery and bondage is trying to keep things for ourselves. And what is the greatest charity we can give to another? To give them Krishna, the greatest wealth. And how to give them Krishna? The Supreme Personality of Godhead so lovingly descended into this world to teach how in this age of Kali Yuga to give Krishna to others. By distributing the Sankirtan of the Holy Name. By having Kirtan in such a wonderful, loving, intimate way that people will be so attracted, that these devotees, they are so happy and they're so friendly to one another and they're so purified by this kirtan. I want to join this kirtan also. This is the greatest charity we can give, by joyfully, lovingly, sincerely taking shelter of the holy name together, chanting
Hare Krishna. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Because Krishna is non-different than his name. By giving Harinam, we are giving Krishna. And by giving Krishna, we are giving people the opportunity to be relieved once and for all from the cycle of birth and death. And we are giving them the opportunity to be intimately and ecstatically engaged in the eternal service of the most beautiful, loving, transcendental personality, Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Let them laugh. Let them criticize. Let them hate us. Let them do or say anything. They are in a fever. But let us give them Krishna somehow or other. Hiranyakashipu, his goal in life was to kill his own son. And yet, when Prahlad was offered a benediction, Prahlad asked Lord Narasingadev, I ask you one thing. Two things. One is, let me stay in this world to bring everyone back to Krishna. And two, that this father of mine who's blasphemed me, he's tortured me, he's tried to kill me, let him go back to Godhead. Let him be with you. Engage him in your loving service. Give him ecstasy. Give him love. Give him your mercy. Thank you very much.